Good morning.
How does that calling number work? Actually on your phone? Any phone. No, but who's the connector?
Whoever calls in. Give me the phone number, I'll do it.
There's a central number, then you just have to type in the code. Multiple people can be on the same call, so you didn't have to have multiple phones.
Exactly.
That's just fine.
But he has to wait till you're done, right, Rabbi? Go ahead. You have to wait till you're done, or if you do say, you know, while you're doing it.
So today's daf is daf Nun Aleph, and we'll begin on the bottom of Nun Amid Beis. We just saw stories about Rabbi Akiva. We saw a story about Rebbe, about the wedding that Rebbe made. And the Gemara related that Rebbe spent 240 million dinar on the wedding of his son. And Bar Kapara initially felt bad that he wasn't included. He made a comment. He said, well, if those who violate God's will have it so good, imagine those who fulfill God's will. Then when Rebbe did invite Bar Kapara to the wedding, Bar Kapara turned around and said, if those who fulfill God's will have such a good time in this world, they have 240 million dinar they can spend on a wedding, certainly they'll have such an amazing, amazing reward in the next world. So we're three lines from the bottom on Nun Amud Bey. Says the Gemara, Yomud Mechayach Barebi Asya Puranusala Alma. On a day when Rebbe would smile, tragedies would come to the world. Now why is that? So I see here in the Masifta, they quote a series of explanations to this. One, that the Shita Mekubetza says, Rebbe was the head of the Jewish people. So he should have been constantly in a state of pain over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash and over the fact that we were in Galus. He was also very wealthy. So if he'd be smiling and laughing, it would look like he's so happy with his wealth that the problems of the Jewish nation, that we are in Galus and we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, are just not so significant. So that would already cause a great tragedy to come into the world. The Maharsha gives a slightly different explanation. The Maharsha says, we know the Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that Rebbe suffered a great deal. He had a lot of illnesses. We saw this in Ksubis also. And because he was suffering, that was a merit for his generation. So there was rain every day because he was suffering. He was paying for all the sins. So if he would start laughing, then he wouldn't be suffering, and then the rain wouldn't come. So that's a principle. If Rebbe's happy, it's a bad thing for the world. Rebbe should be in a difficult frame of mind. So what did Rebbe do? Amalei Bar Kapara, he told Bar Kapara, Lo tavdichan. Don't make us laugh. Don't make any jokes. Don't make us smile. And that way, it'll be good for the world. And if you do that, v'yehivna loch, arba'in grivi chiti. I'm going to give you 40 measures of wheat. If you avoid making us laugh, I'll give you 40 measures of wheat, because so long as I'm in a somewhat anxious state, that brings blessings to the world, so I don't want you to make me laugh, because that'll bring problems to the world. Now, Bar Kapara, as we're about to see for the rest of the Amud, does keep trying to make Rebbe laugh. So why? I mean, if the Gemara just said that it's a bad thing for Rebbe to laugh, why is Bar Kapara trying to make Rebbe laugh? So again, the Masifti here quotes the Maharsha that we learned in the Gemara Maseches Tainis, that Eliyahu HaNavi revealed that who is a Ben Olam Abba? The clowns who make people laugh. So Bar Kapara was trying to make Rebbe laugh because he felt that that's something that will bring him Olam Haba. So what happened? Amar Lei. So Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Lichze Mar, Tachol Griva Debeina Shakilna. You're going to see that any type of measure that I want, I'm going to take, because you told me that if I don't make you laugh, I get 40 measures of wheat. So, but measure is a vague phrase, so watch out. I'm going to show up with my definition of what a measure is. So what did he do? Shakal dikula rabba. He took a very large basket. Hafya kufra, and he smeared it with pitch. Sachve al reshe, he turned it over on its head. V'azal v'amarlein, he went and he told Rabbi, lecholi mar, arba en grivi chiti derashina bach. Give me, may the master give me 40 measures of wheat like this that he owes me. So achuch Rabbi, so Rabbi laughed. It's such a big thing. Amarle, so he said, okay, but now that I laughed, I don't give you anything. The whole deal was you shouldn't make me laugh. I warned you not to make me laugh. So, you know, now that you made me laugh by how large you want the wheat to be, so you're not getting anything. So Amarle, so Bar Kapara said, I'm not asking for wheat in return for not making you laugh. I'm asking for chiti derashina kanasivna. I'm asking for wheat that I lent you. So now that was also a joke, because he obviously didn't lend anything to Rebbe. Rebbe was extraordinarily wealthy. Rebbe didn't need to borrow things from the poor Bar Kapara. He didn't borrow wheat from Bar Kapara. So that was also a joke that Bar Kapara said. Amalei Bar Kapara levrati de Rebbe. Bar Kapara told the daughter of Rebbe, L'machar shateina chamra, tomorrow I'm going to drink wine, birikuda da'avach, and your father's going to be dancing in front of me, u'bekirkane de'imach, and with your mother singing in front of me. So tomorrow I'm going to be drinking wine with your father entertaining me and your mother entertaining me. So what happened? Ben Elasha chasane de Rebbe hava. Ben Elasha, he was the son-in-law of Rebbe, v'asher gadol hava. He was very, very rich. So he invited him to the wedding. Rebbe, that is, invited Bar Kapara to the wedding of Rabbi Shimon, his son. Amalei Bar Kapara le Rebbe. So during the wedding, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, "My toeva." What is the meaning of the word to'eva? In other words, why does the Torah describe relations, marital relations between two men, as an abomination? After all, it's a prohibition of znus. There are a lot of other prohibitions of znus. You have a man with a married woman, a man with a sister. Those things aren't defined as to'eva. Why is this defined as to'eva? So called Amar Le Rebbe, Tahachin Hu Toeva, whatever Rebbe would say to explain why this is called a Toeva, Parcha Bar Kapara. Bar Kapara disproved it with questions. Amar Le, so Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, Parshayat, well, why don't you explain it? Amar Le, so Bar Kapara said, I'll tell you what it is. If Tesi de Vishu, your wife comes, Vitirmuli Natla, and pours me a small cup of wine, so Asa, she came. Ramule, she poured him a small cup of wine. Amar le, then Bar Kapara said to Rabbi Kumra Kodli, get up and dance in front of me, the Emalach, and then I'll tell you. So Rabbi started to dance. Achi Amar Achman, he said, this is what God said, To'eva. This is called To'eva, because it stands for the following set of words. To'e ata ba. You are straying with her. In other words, the normal thing is for a man to want a woman. So he's straying off of the normal thing to now have a new set of desires of man for a man. Lekasa achrina, instead of for his wife, going to a different cup.
How we see that Rabbi was meant for a man? I don't understand. How Rabbi Kapara see this? He just was dancing. And he asked his wife to be mosaic yain.
And then he explained.
All the Musar in this meantime, it's against what we believe. First, the money that Rabbi Yudah spent, we don't agree with this. Then to ask a woman to come to be mosaic yain, it's not a tzniut.
Yeah.
Now he's telling a man to dance.
Right? So that's a question, but apparently this is all part of humor. This is all Bar Kapara trying to be funny.
He's got a lot of chutzpah too.
He has a lot of chutzpah. Right, that's right. That's what the Gemara will explain. This is all part of a joke. All part of a humorous joke. So then Amar Le Bar Kapara then said to Rabbi, my tevel. The Torah talks about a woman who sleeps with an animal, who practices bestiality, and it calls it tevel. Why call it tevel? So Amar Le. So then Bar Kapara said the same thing. Ki anyana kadma. Same ritual as before. Your wife has to bring me wine, you've got to dance, then I'll tell you. Amar Le. Ividly. To Omar Lach. Do for me so that I can tell you why it's Tevel. Avad Rebbe did it. Omar Le. Then Bar Kapara told Rebbe, Tevel who? Is really a rhetorical statement. Is it Tevel? In other words, Tavlin Yeshba, is there some special taste of an animal with a woman? Minshanya, Mishanya, Hadabia, is there a different taste in this marital relations? Minkulubia, from all other marital relations. Why would a woman go and have marital and marital act with an animal when she could have, you know, marital acts with people? Amarle, then Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, my Zima. Why does the Torah call Znus with the word Zima? So Amarle, so Bar Kapara answered, Ivid Kinyana Kadma. All right, do for me like I did earlier. Do for me like you did earlier. Again, give me wine and dance in front of me. Ava, they did it. Amarle, that Zima is from the words Zo Mahi. This one, what is this? In other words, you don't know who the child's going to be from. You don't know who the mother's going to be. So, Zo Mahi. I'm sorry, the woman doesn't know which father the child is from. So, this one, you don't know what it is. So, three different psukim, all about Znus, where Bar Kapara challenged Rebbe, give me an explanation for these words. Rebbe didn't have it, and then he would only teach it once Rebbe would do something foolish. So, lo yachol bar alasa lemizbal. So, bar alasa, the wealthy son-in-law, couldn't stand it. So, what did he do? Kam v'nafak huvitze mitaman. So, he and his wife walked out from there. My ben alasa. How do we know that ben alasa was rich? The tanya we looked at a brisa, lo lechinam pizer ben alasa's ma'osav. Ben Alasa didn't spend his money for no reason. El Laharo spent his Poreshul Kohen Gadol. He spent a huge amount of money to demonstrate what the special haircut of the Kohen Gadol was. Dichsev, because it says about the Kohen Gadol, Kasom Yichsmu Esro Sheyem. They have to trim their heads. So the Gemara explains, Tani Valentin Abraisa, Kein Lulionos, that the haircut is like little locks. Mailulanios, Amr of Yehuda, Tisparti Yechidita. It's a unique and beautiful haircut. Hey Chidami, what is it like? Amar Rav, what Rav explained. Rosho Shelzeh, the top of one hair, Bitzadi Karo Shelzeh, right next to the beginning of the hairs of the next hair. And that is Vahina Tispore Shel Kohen Gadol. So Bar Alasa, he spent all this amount of money that he had to learn, or to show what this nice haircut was. So you see that he was a very, very wealthy person, that he had the money to spend on such a haircut. So, you know, the Mefarshim asked this question, you know, how did Bar Kapara use Rebbe's wife to give him something to drink or to have Rebbe dance in front of him. So, the Shalmei Nedarim quotes the Tosfos in Kiddushin that this is all, if it's done L'shem Shamayim, you're allowed to have a woman as a waiter. So this was apparently all done l'shem shamayim on the part of Bar Kapara. Some explain there was a wedding. A wedding in general is between man and woman. So Bar Kapara wanted to use the opportunity to teach the lessons of znus, what is not allowed, why these things are not allowed, so why Mishkav Zachar is not allowed, and with the Behema. And he did it in a humorous way. He did it by, you know, putting on this whole show, making a joke, so that it would be better accepted. Yeah, question.
What kind of a haircut is this, at the bottom of this?
So that, you know, every hair is trimmed.
Right.
So that one hair goes to this point, right, where the next hair starts. And then the next hair starts.
So it's like a layer, a step.
Is it layered? It's more that each hair looks like
You can do it.
Each hair looks like a.
So they shave off the top and then on the side, you know.
Each hair fills a little spot and it gets to the beginning of the next hair. Like this.
Under God, like steps.
Yeah.
Like steps. If you want to run like this, I'll do it to you.
Like a roof. Layered here.
Rabbi, he doesn't have to send this Gemara. This one is
Obama. I love you, baby. Give me some of it.
Hashem should save us. Going back to the Mishnah taught that if a fellow made a neder not to have a top shield, so he is allowed to have certain things, even though they're cooked, they're not called tavshil. So we got into this whole discussion because we mentioned the shrunken egg, which was maybe the inspiration for the pill camera. So now the Mishnah said, Ubedalas haramutza. In addition, he's allowed to have butternut squash, which was remutza. My dlas remutza. What is this dlas remutza? Amar Shmuel said, "Kara karkuzai." It's butternut squash from Karkuza. So it never gets cooked. It can only be partially cooked. So therefore, if he made a net and had to have a tavshil, we could have that. However, Rav Ashi said, "Dlas atmuna beremetz." It's butternut squash in coals. The word remutza means coals and hot ash. So butternut squash and hot ash is not considered something cooked. Es Ravina the Ravashi, it's Ravina challenged Ravashi, who said that the definition of glas or amutza means butternut squash and hot ash. But didn't we learn, Rabbi Nechemi omer glas aramis hit glas amitzris, that the butternut squash of Syria is the same as the butternut squash of Egypt. And it's klayim im ayavanis. That is klayim with the Greek butternut squash. You can't mix the two because they'd be two different types of seeds. And therefore, it's also klayim im aramutza. It's also the butternut squash of Syria is kelayim with the butternut squash of remutza. So it sounds like dlas or remutza is not regular butternut squash in ashes. It's a certain type of butternut squash from a certain place. So to yufta, you've proven that, and that disproves the idea of Rav Ashi that dlas or remutza is all butternut squash in ash. Rather, it's the butternut squash from Karkuzai. Right.
But it's not a bishu, it's a bishu. If I'm doing it, so I cannot understand the system. In Gemara, from the second Shabbat, even Shabbat, we'll call it bishu.
No, the key point to always remember is that in Nedarim Halech Bahen Achar Lashem Bnei Adam, a neder follows what people. Yeah, what do people mean when they use the term tavshil?
Too much in
Okay. Next Mishnah continues with this theme. I know Demi Maisak Deira. Person says, I'm not going to have any Maisak Deira, any handiwork of a pot. So then he's not allowed to have things that need to be boiled a great deal. If he said anything that goes into a pot has a sanctity to it and I won't taste it, then he's not allowed to have anything that went into the pot, even if it didn't have to be cooked a great deal. Now, an ilfas is a frying pan. Tanya, we learned it a brisa. No, the mina yored lukdeira. If a person says, I'm not going to have anything that goes into a pot, aser be yored leilfas. He's also not allowed to have those things that go into a frying pan. Why? Shekvar yored lukdeira, kodem shored leilfas. Because before it goes into the frying pan, it usually goes into a big pot. Then it goes into the frying pan. But if he made a nadir mina yored leilfas, not to have anything that goes into the frying pan, mutter be yored lukdeira. He's allowed to have those things that go into the pot. Because if it goes into the pot, it may not have gone into the frying pan. Minanasa bikdeira. If you made a neder from anything that's made in a pot, mutter binasa bilfas. He's allowed to have those things that are made in a frying pan. Minanasa bilfas. He made a neder not to have anything that gets made in a frying pan. So then mutter binasa bikdeira. He's allowed to have those things that are made at the completion of their cooking is in a kdeira, is in a pot. I know the mina yored latanur, person who makes a neder not to have anything that goes down into an oven. So ain't aser el bapas. That means that he's not going to have bread. But other things that get cooked in an oven, he is allowed to have, because yored latanur typically means bread. Vim amar, and if he said, kol mai satanur alai, anything that comes out of an oven is prohibited to me. Aser b'chalanasim b'taner. And he's not allowed to have anything that gets made in any way in an oven.
Unless he says this pot or this oven, then it's just specific.
That would be that.
Okay. Yeah, but it translates here dish, but you said pot. So it's a difference. What is, you know? Is it dish or a pot?
I said before.
I think it's a pot more so.
It says pot.
What does Artskill say?
Pot.
Artskill says pot.
It says both, actually. This one is not good. Master Baruch, please change it.
No, it says both. It says stew pot also. Next Mishnah.
Give me a pen after. How you kept so happy?
Mina kavush. If a person makes a neder not to have things that are pickled. So that means vegetables, because that's sort of normally soaked and pickled. If he said kavush ani toim, he said soaked things, pickled things I won't taste, then also b'chala kavushin. Then he's not allowed to have anything that got pickled. In other words, when you say min ha-kavush, from the pickled, so that means pickles. Normally we would say it means cucumbers. But if he said kavush ani ochel, anything pickled, that would mean even other things that get pickled. Similarly, min hashaluk, he says, I'm not going to have from the overcooked. Then eino ela min hashaluk shel basar. That's normally boiled meat. But if he said shaluk shani toim, anything boiled, I'm not going to taste. Aser b'chol hashlukim, and he's not allowed to have anything that is overly boiled and cooked. Said the Gemara, "I'm Rav Acha bray the Rav Avaya, the Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav Avaya, said the Rav Ashi, Amar dik kavish alai mai. If he said that which is kavish on me, what would be the halacha? Dishalik alai mai. Right? If he said dishalik, what would be the halacha? Ditzli, that which is roasted mai. What's the halacha? Dimliach, that which is salted mai. What's the halacha? Heichin mashma. What does it mean? When he said di with the alid, with the dalid for the word kavush, does it mean the kavush, namely pickles? Or is he saying anything? So Tiboy, we don't know. We don't know what he means. Maybe he means anything which is pickled. Maybe he means only the main pickled things.
I could have a kasha. Let's go out to the street and see what people say.
Interesting question. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe the Lashon are not there. I mean, our Lashon, if we say Kavush, would mean everything. Today. Anything, because it's pickles. Could be even fish.
I don't know. I don't know. Why didn't they go and investigate to try to figure out what it means? Maybe we know what it means, but we're just not sure. I don't know. How the halacha should be. I don't know why we couldn't try to figure that out. All right. Next Mishnah. If he says minatzali, konam, he's not going to get any benefit from that which, from the roasted. So ein aser ela minatzali shel basar. So the roasted means roasted meat. Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda says. But if he said tzali, I'm not going to get benefit from anything roasted. Shani toim, also b'chalatzluim. So that's not only meat. That could even mean fish. It could mean tomatoes. Anything that gets roasted. If he said min hamaliach, I'm not going to get benefit from the salted. Ein aser ela min hamaliach shel dag. So that means salted fish. But if he says maliach shani toim, anything salted I won't taste, aser b'chalam luchim, then he's not allowed to have anything that is salted.
Could he eat korban pesach?
If he said tzali, no.
But
you can make a neder. Neder can override a mitzvah.
Is it salted though? It doesn't have to be salted.
No, but it's roasted. It's roasted. But if he said minat tzali, he couldn't have it.
Rabbi, I think we
learned
that I cannot
make a neder on the Bereim and the Oraita. It's pasul. No, you can make a neder. Even if it's vataser, I can make a neder. I'm not going to
do
it. Yeah. It's a shvua that is not, that doesn't take effect, but a neder does take effect.
So this is always there.
Yeah. So then the Mishnah talks about the difference in the term dag and daga. So if he said dag, dagim, shani toim, both fish and fishes that I'm going to taste, aser behen, bein gdolim, bein ktanim, and he's not allowed to have the big fish or the small fish, and bein meluchim, bein tfeilim, whether they've salted, been salted, or they're still raw, bein chayim, whether they're raw, bein mevushalim, or cooked, umutter betaris trufa. But he's allowed to have this huge fish that gets cut into very small pieces, like this grounded fish, like, you know, ground white fish. And betzir, he's also allowed to have the sauce of fish, because these things are not included in the word dag or dagim. Hamodim in a tzachna, a person who makes a neder not to get any benefit from a big mixture of fish, of salted fish. Aser b'taris trufa. If you use the word tzachna, then you can't even have, I guess, like whitefish salad, this grind fish. Humutter b'tzir, but he's still allowed to have the oil that comes out of the fish. And b'murius, he's allowed to have the fat of the fish that doesn't have its intestines. Because tzachna implies, you know, pieces of fish, but not, you know, oil or guk that comes from the fish. Hanoder mitaris trufa. He makes a neder not to have taris trufa, which is, you know, fish that's cut up into a salad, fish salad. That means aser b'tzir uvamurias. Because once he says trufa, the word trufa means a mixture. So then he cannot even have the sauce or the fat that's in the middle of the fish. Tanya, look at a brayser of Shimon Elazar Omer. If a person says, dag shani toim, I'm not going to have a neder, I'm not going to be tasting any dog. That means aser b'gdolim. That means he's not going to have the big fish, because normally the big fish are sold individually. Umutter b'ktanim, but he's allowed to buy the small fish. It's not called dag. If he said, daga shani toim, fish that I'm going to taste, aser b'ktanim, he's not allowed to have the small fish. Umutter b'gdolim, and he's allowed to have the big fish. If he said both, dag and daga shani toim, then aser b'gdolim u'b'ktanim. He's not allowed to have the big ones and the small ones, because he said both terms. Dag, which is big fish, and daga, which is small fish. Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, mimai dag shani toim gadol. I don't know that the term dag that I'll taste means big fish. And so Abaye, because the pasuk says, vayiman Hashem dag gadol, livloas Yonah. God prepared a big fish to swallow Yonah. The Gemara says, ayvak siva yispal Yonah l'Hashem elokav mimei hadaga. Yonah prayed to God as Lord from the stomach of the daga. So that means that daga is a big fish. And the Gemara, Halakash, it's not a question. He was thrown up by the big fish and then swallowed by a smaller fish. Ella, so the Gemara says, if you're going to say daga is a small fish, what about the fact that it says vadaga shared by Or Mesa, that because of the plague of blood, the daga that was in the Nile died? Does that mean ktanim mesu gdolim lo mesu? Does that mean that the small fish died and the big fish didn't die? Ella, rather, daga mashma gdolim u mashma ktanim. Daga means big fish and small fish. Benedarim aleich achar lashem le'adam. But in regards to nedarim, you have to follow what people intend. It's not the pasuk. There are psukim that imply daga is big fish. Other psukim that daga is small fish. But in nedarim, we look at people, and when people use the word daga, they mean small fish. Then the Mishnah said, anodim in a tzachna. If you say he's not going to have tzachna, he's not allowed to have fish salads. Amar le ravina le ravashi. Amar arei alei tzichin mai. What is it? What's the law if he says tzichin? Is tzichin, you know, a lot of fish? Or is tzichin, you know, basically just the word tzachna? So the Gemara answers, right? Is it, does he imply also, you know, maybe tzichin means even the fish sauce? So the Gemara says, Tibai, we don't know the answer to this question.